This is a rerun, as I am on vacation this week.
This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. And as per usual, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. Remember, this program can be re-listened to on my website, and there's a weekly meditation on my website that you might find helpful, as well as other information. So if you want my mailing address or website address, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write it down at the close of the program. Now, last time we were working on the story, the historical story of Cain and Abel, and we saw how the first murder came into this world as a result of Cain being disobedient again to God and apparently thinking that if he could destroy his brother, that he would be somehow victorious in this particular battle as to who pleased God. And I don't fully understand his thinking on that. Remember in Genesis 4, verse 4, it said, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And if we had read the first few verses in the chapter, we would have found out that Abel was a shepherd and that Cain was a farmer. Now, because I'm speaking to people in a rural area, you probably would identify with Cain, the farmer, even though I know many of you at one time raised animals and probably appreciated the value of an animal as well. But nevertheless, today, most of the area that I'm speaking to does crop farming, and we know that there's a lot of effort put into having good crops. And it would seem that God would accept those efforts just as much from a farmer as he would an animal offering from a shepherd. But I just want to review what went on in this passage, because as we look at this section, we know that Cain must have known that God wanted an animal sacrifice. Now, the reason I say that Cain must have known that is because when his parents sinned, they had clothed themselves with fig leaves, and that didn't satisfy God, and so God clothed them in skins of an animal. And that is a figurative picture of the righteousness that we have when we are clothed in Christ, who, of course, died for us, shed his blood for us on the cross of Calvary. Now, you might say, well, maybe the instructions weren't real clear, and that's true. We aren't told everything that went on in this particular passage, but maybe the instructions weren't real clear. But after Abel offered his sacrifice, and Abel was accepted when Cain was not, and the way Cain must have known he was not accepted is that God must have communicated that somehow, perhaps even told him to his face that it was not acceptable. And so after he had realized that Abel's offering was acceptable, all he had to do was to humble himself and say, okay, if that's what satisfies God, then I need to worship God God's way. And he could have gone out and gotten an animal, probably even from Abel, and offered it as a sacrifice for likely a sacrifice for his sins, a sin offering, but also a sacrifice that would just be an evidence of his desire to worship God right. And this is something that I see today. It seems to me that people are telling God how to be worshiped rather than worshiping God. Now, I believe that when we come to faith in Christ, that's the first act of worship that we ever really are able to enter into in our lives. When we actually trust Christ, we're giving him his rightful place. We're giving the Father his rightful place. We're accepting the truth of Scripture, and we are turning our back on idolatry and all we thought was right, and we are worshiping the way God said to worship. We are worshiping God aright. Now, after we're saved, of course, we want to do things that please God as well. We want to continue worshiping him, and sometimes when we look at that word worship, we know that it's a word that reminds us of worth-ships. In other words, people who are worthy and are in a ship. And sometimes we look at congregational worship. And our congregational worship today seems to be centered around music. But really, congregational worship in the Old Testament and in the New, while it involved worship, was centered around the sacrifice that satisfied God. And there in the New Testament, our worship is associated with obedience, of course, and a holy life, but it's also associated with our desire to be identified with Christ in baptism. It's associated with our desire to remember the Lord in the breaking of the bread. And then our worship in Acts 2 is associated with continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We look at worship today as an emotional response to the Lord, and thank God for the emotions we have that are a response to what the Lord has done, the love, the joy, the peace. We should have those emotional responses, but worship is really giving the Lord his rightful place and honoring him and praising him with our lips. Now, we do praise him through song, but the emphasis we have today on songs is not seen in the New Testament. The emphasis is seen in very simple things that we do that God has asked us to do. And pure and simple worship is doing that which God has asked us to do. Worship is praising the Lord because God has asked us to praise him, to praise his Son, and we should be a thankful people. We're told in everything to give thanks. And so that should be an evidence of our worship. But our worship today is really an emotional thing oftentimes rather than something that is the response to the commands of God and to our love for the Lord Jesus. There are so many people today are going to, as they say, church to worship, but if you listen to them, they're going to see what they can get out of it rather than what they can put into it. And of course, when we're worshiping the Lord, we're trying to lay gifts at his feet, much like those wise men did when they came and worshiped the babe that they had found after they followed that star in the east. We want to lay gifts, precious gifts, at his feet. And the worship that is the sacrifice of our lips. It's the praise of our hearts. And it's by, and while I don't want to deny the emotional component in worship, you can have emotion and not have worship, but you cannot have, it's very difficult to, it would be very difficult to be obedient to the Lord and to honor his word and not be worshiping. So as we look at this section, we can see that Cain should have known what God wanted. All he had to do was do what Abel had done if he hadn't understood up until now, but he wouldn't do that. And so as a result, he is angry because God has not accepted his sacrifice and God has accepted Abel's. Now, he wanted to worship his way, not God's way, and he wanted to kill the one who did right instead of changing his own ways. And isn't that often the way of the world? We see that today with regard to the religious groups of the world. If we don't worship the way they think we ought to worship, Satan has them convinced they need to destroy those who worship differently. And so this original conflict between the people groups of the world, we've seen in Cain and Abel. We see that Cain worshipped his way, Abel worshipped God's way, and Cain was going to destroy Abel because he had pleased God. And as I said, I don't understand that, because rather than destroying Abel, he should have seen that he too could please God by doing what Abel did. But that animosity is seen amongst the different religious groups today. And we want to make sure that we're not a part of that, that we, in fact, please God, and if God corrects us with regard to something we're doing wrong, we need to stand corrected rather than trying to destroy those who apparently are doing right. And we noticed then that Cain's punishment was great. And often we don't talk about the punishment that is coming upon those who are unbelievers. But really, aren't we talking about unbelief when we look at this passage and when we look at Eve and her sin and all that took place in these early days in the Garden of Eden? Eve did not believe God. She believed the lie of Satan. Cain did not believe God, he believed the lie of Satan. And so because of their unbelief, they did what was wrong. Many people think that our works are what make us right with God, but our works are the result of what we believe. And we've often emphasized that you can try to show me your faith without your works, but I will show you my faith by my works. And even when John the Baptist preached repentance, which we know leads to faith in Christ, he said, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. The works did not produce repentance, but the repentance produced works. And those works were acts of worship. They were ways of living right so that they would please God. And when Cain, in his unbelief, turned away from God, then God put a mark on him and sent him away from Abel, from the society that he knew. And Cain says, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He was told that the blood of his brother's blood cries out to me, that is to God, from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength. Here it is, a fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. He's going to have to flee from those that he knows, from his relatives. He's going to be an outcast. Friend, if that was a great punishment and greater than he could bear, what's going to be the punishment for those who turn their back on the Christ who died on that middle cross and who offers forgiveness of sins to everyone who will come to him and trust him? We know that their punishment is going to be eternal, because the blessing we receive when we trust Christ is eternal, and their curse is going to be eternal. And people don't realize that decisions they make in this life, those decisions have eternal consequences. And when we think of eternity, we want to make sure that we are right for eternity, that we don't end up making the mistake of unbelief now, turning our back upon God and upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, now, and ending up saying one day that my punishment is greater than I can bear, because as I understand the Bible, there's no second chance after we die. The unbelieving dead will stand before God and will hear those words, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you, and it will be for eternity. Friend, make sure you believe God. And if you're not sure how to worship God, how to come to him by faith, find somebody who has pleased God and talk to them and settle this great issue and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can have eternal life and be sure of it. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon our program and upon those who have listened. We just pray that if there's those that are not clear about their salvation, that they will come to faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for thy blessings in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.